The Ellis County Commission has reorganized. Darren Myers, interim county administrator, stops by to talk about that with Hayes Post reporter Jonathan Zweigert and more on this edition of the Post Podcast.
Kind of the big thing from yesterday, the reorganization. Every year, the commission during this particular meeting in the month of January goes through and does their reorganization.
Yes, last night, Butch Slyer took over the chair for the commission as well as for our PBC, and Dustin Rhodes is the new vice chair and vice president for the PBC. And switched seats and got all that taken care of, all the departmental appointments to different board appointments. As you can see from the agenda item, there was probably three, 4 pages of appointments that we have to do, from all the county fire officers to the local emergency planning commission or committee to juvenile services board. And quite a bit of different appointments that they have to approve, as well as the official newspaper that they publish in. And so took care of all those last night and moved on. There is one appointment that we still have open, the Juvenile Corrections Board. The previous person vacated that throughout the end of the 2019 year. So if there's anybody out there that knows somebody that might be interested in serving on that board, give us a call at the office, and we'd be happy to discuss it with the commission and see if we can get somebody appointed to it.
All right. Very good. We can move right along after the staff appointments. There was the Buckeye Wind Farm donation, and you were presentation. You had the presentation yesterday from Invenergy, and they had a representation, Scott Brown. He's come before the commission, or Sean, I'm sorry, Brown has come before the commission before.
Yeah, Sean's been very supportive to the county fire department and public service agencies in Ellis County. They're very proactive on their safety issues and different scenarios that could happen out there at the Buckeye Wind Farm northwest of town. And they invite us out every year. We go through take anybody off the top of one of the wind turbines, but they do that themselves. They have their own rescue team that does that, whether it's inside or outside that nacelle, which is the box on top of the wind turbine, and bring the patient down, and the fire crews and EMS crews, we all meet them at the base of the tower and do some patient handoff, just, you know, verbalizing things back and forth. And this year, Eagle Med flew out one of their helicopters, so we then transported the mannequin over to Eagle Med to fly somebody out. So it was a good exercise. And for, I believe this is the third year, couldn't be the fourth, so I apologize, but Scott with Invenergy has given us a donation to the county fire department to assist us in purchasing wildland fire gear for our firefighters. So we greatly appreciate the support and for letting us come out and do the training, so that way if something does happen, we have an idea what's going on, but also for the check to help us with our gear.
All right, very cool. And yeah, another opportunity for training for emergency personnel and your guys' fire department. I'm sure that definitely is something that hands-on that you guys and your department really kind of looks forward to, I would imagine, just so you're hands-on and know what's going on in case something bad happens out there.
Yeah, if you pay the news of public safety, I mean, we haven't had any incidents here, which is great, and I'll knock on wood that we never do. But some of the different wind farms have different protocols. Some actually supply their own rescue teams like we do out, or they do out here, and some actually contact their local fire departments to do all the rescues for them. So it varies, but we are, either way, as long as we have trained people there working together, is the main thing.
All right, very good. We can move right along. Mike Leiker, he's the IT director, came before the commission yesterday to talk a little bit about an intern position. The commission gave him the go-ahead to keep an intern for the spring semester after a great fall semester.
Yeah, big thanks to the Dan Hansen Foundation for allowing that first semester of the intern with our information or IT department. He's been there for, I believe, since September. They work about a part-time hours because he's still going to school. But his internship with that program actually ends today. Today was his last day. So Mike is wanting to extend that. He's got some big projects going on in the county. I can't remember exactly how many computers we have throughout the county, all the different offices. But the upgrade from Windows 7 to 10 is going on, and there's a he's trying to meet the deadline of mid-February to get them all updated to Windows 10. But this IT is, intern is going to be monumental, I guess, in helping him create that or be able to meet that goal. So he's asked and the commission approved and to continue that internship into mid-May, I believe, once the spring semester ends.
All right, very good. Also from yesterday, the KDOT signatures through or for the Northwest Business Corridor. And I know Public Works Director Bill Rink said this is a number of documents the commission will get to sign as this project kind of starts the ball rolling a little bit more.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of process. Me, Bill and I have had a whole bunch of meetings in the last actually 2 weeks regarding this project, just trying to get everything kicked off so that way we can stay on track with the timeline that we like to meet by. But basically the form that they had to sign last night says this is a project and it allows KDOT and the Federal Highway Administration to actually assign a project number to the Northwest Business Corridor project. So when all their engineering documents or any type of documents that are being shared upon, there's a reference to a number to the project. And that's basically what that document signed last night does.
All right, very good. Well, I know we'll hear a lot more about the project and going forward, and we're excited to learn more about that. Also, talking a little bit about health insurance and with the employee health plan, the contract is going to be up in the next fiscal year, 2021. And so you kind of talked a little bit about what comes next.
Yes, so the state employment or employee health plan is a 3-year contract that Ellis County is on with the state. And by this September, we need to make a decision to notify the state whether we're going to continue for another 3 years or we're going to go elsewhere. To make that decision is not the easiest, and it's not something we can actually do in-house. You know, you can't just go shop for a car or insurance, health insurance, like you can for a car. So we'll meet with some brokers out there to try to find out some different plans, some different options, hopefully to maintain a good health insurance for our employees, but also at a lower cost. Can't say how much that lower cost could be yet. We won't know, but once we identify our broker and work with them, probably up until about June, we'll have some ideas and be able to make a recommendation back to the commission, and hopefully the recommendation include that we'll save a significant amount of money and still have a good quality health insurance for our employees, and make that decision before we have to notify the state, as well as when our budget is completed in late July and early August.
All right, very good. A couple other things on the agenda from yesterday. We talked briefly about this last time, but talking a little bit about the Purple Wave auction, and there were a discussion on the 3 dump trucks and related to the purchase of 2 other dump trucks that was approved earlier this year by the commission.
Yeah, so after we met last week, Public Works had identified some other items that they would like to get on the list, and just wanted to make sure the commission was aware of what all we were trying to sell, as well as follow state statute. Once we start selling anything that ranges between $1,000 and $50,000, we have to do public notifications of the sale, which we're still going to do anyway. We'll, you know, list it on our website, the county website, and give a link to the sale. But the dump trucks obviously would sell more than $1,000, so we would have to have done that notification and make the commission aware. But when we looked and reviewed what the trade-in values for those dump trucks that they were given when we bought the other 2 in December, there's about a trade-in value of $30,000, and the commission felt, and I agree, that there was probably a little bit of risk there to try to sell those on Purple Wave and be able to get $30,000 in bids or more. So they felt safe, and we won't list those on Purple Wave, but they will be traded in on when the new trucks get here. But everything else will go on sale, so there'll be a government auction for some Ellis County surplus items. I believe the date is, well, it should start within the last couple of days of January here. Okay. And run into February 25th on Purple Wave.
All right. Very good. And then finally from yesterday, talking a little bit about the executive team meetings and having a county commissioner there. I know this was something that was brought up earlier at a prior meeting, just talking a little bit about having a commissioner at the executive team meetings. And the executive team, you might talk a little bit about who makes up that. I think it's department head, elected officials. I'm not exactly sure who, but.
Yeah. So every 2 weeks we have an executive team meeting. It used to be called a department head meeting just because of who was in attendance, but we changed it, or Phil changed it to the, our prior county administrator changed it to the executive team, because it's not just department heads, it's elected officials. And it's not just the electeds or the department heads. Sometimes they're number twos or their assistants or their some of their other interdepartmental directors come out. You know, the road and bridge supervisor or the landfill supervisor, they all come out and attend the meetings. And so I think last week when we had a meeting, there's probably 15 people within the group between all the department heads and elected officials and some of the number twos. We all meet every other week, and so the suggestion that came from the commission was a couple weeks, or I believe it was in December when we had the strategic planning agenda item. They thought that it would maybe be a good idea just to keep them more engaged with our department heads is to have them attend some of the meetings. So we met, we came up with a plan, and they'll attend, or one commissioner will attend the first meeting of every month for the rest of the year. So there'll be each commissioner will be there basically once a quarter, but we'll have some private interaction time with the commissioners at these meetings. So that way they can come in, we can talk, ask questions, or if they have questions or ideas, that we can have more communication with them regularly rather than just at the commission meeting.
All right. Very good. Well, that kind of wraps up the meeting from yesterday. Quite a few agenda items. Was there anything that you wanted to hit on that we didn't talk about?
No, I'm kind of excited that the next agenda isn't out yet for this coming Monday, but I did ask the commission if we can put an item on there to start the process of how they'd like to proceed hiring the new county administrator. So I'm very excited for that. That will be the breaking news for Ellis County, I guess, later this week, is hopefully they can decide on some direction and some movement on how to proceed with that in the coming months.